any hoops you got to jump through. Again, you text WMIE to 24365. It'll ask you for your name and your credit card number, expiration date, and whether or not this is a one-time gift or a monthly gift. Text WMIE to 24365. I'll get the email immediately and count your gift towards our total.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And I want you to know we're thankful for our church building. We've done a lot of work to make that as user-friendly as we possibly can. But I'm also thankful that the church is not a building. It's the people. And while there may be a lot of people who are looking at this situation with fear and all of that sort of stuff, it is a social disruption for sure. This may be one of those events that redefines what normal looks like here in the future. But man, I look and say, what a great opportunity to demonstrate that that life is more than just what you see around you. Life consists with your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with others, and the quality of life that we have. We get to live by faith and not by fear. And so I just want to refresh you today with the Word of God. And today we are going to look at what, you know, eternally really is important. We're going to be in Psalm 51. And I want you to know you can be world famous. You can be very powerful as a man, very powerful as a ruler. You can have military might. You can have victory at every hand. You might have even had victories in the past, and you may have victories in the future. But if we are not vigilant, sin can creep into our life and mess up everything. And that's what happened. We're talking this morning about David's response out of Psalm 51 when he had taken a stroll one night upon the palace walls, and they did not have indoor bathrooms back then, and saw a beautiful young lady who was bathing up on the rooftop, and her husband happened to be one of David's mighty men. Her name was Bathsheba. His name was Uriah, and he was off fighting David's battles at the time when kings go off to war, and David wasn't doing what he was supposed to. He sent others to do that for him. And so he manipulated the situation, had an adulterous relationship, an immoral relationship with Bathsheba. She became pregnant, and now there's a serious problem because Uriah has been gone too long for that to be his baby. And so David called him back and hoped that he would go and have a night with his wife. That didn't happen. He was more loyal to David than David was to his men at that point in time. And so he sent word. He tried two nights to get that to take place and sent Uriah back with a note. He carried his own death sentence and didn't know it. And so when he got back to the battlefront, Joab was instructed to put him up near the front lines and then withdraw, and David used a foreign enemy to have a man killed in battle, all to try and cover his sin. Can I tell you that we are all sinners? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So whenever you read about David's life, you've got to understand there were many, many situations in his life. David was not a phenomenal parent. One of his kids, he had never told him no. Another person was looking for ways around things that prevented him from having a relationship with his sister, his half-sister. That wasn't supposed to take place. Absalom took the kingdom in his own hands and tried to overthrow and have his father assassinated. A lot of that came because David had not successfully communicated his passion for the Lord to his kids. And much of what we just read about happened after David's sin with Bathsheba. You know, be sure your sin will find you out. And when it becomes known, it's not going to be pretty. So David had that covered up, and then one day God has Nathan the prophet walk into David and explain a fictitious scenario. It enraged David, and David said, that man deserves to die. He needs to compensate multiple times over for what he did to this one poor man. And David is standing there, and Nathan points his finger at him, and he says, you're the man. Do you understand what a holy boldness it takes for the prophet to point his finger at the king and say, you're the one who did wrong? Okay? Just because you may have a powerful office does not mean that all of your actions are going to be acceptable to the Lord. And so that is where we find out, that David's sin has not gone unnoticed by God, that there it is not going to be without consequence. Many, many people suffered horrible things because David sinned. And the same thing happens with us. If we persist in sin, there will be collateral damage to those around us, to those who are aligned with us, and we should not want that to take place. So let's find out what David's response was when he was told, you're the man. Verse number one, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, you and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. So he begins his prayer, his psalm here in verse number 1, and he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me, O God." Now, I will say this, that David, after this fact, exhibited mercy on a number of occasions. He exhibited mercy to his sons. He exhibited mercy to a person during Absalom's rebellion that had risen up with condemnation and had repented. He demonstrated mercy there. He was a merciful individual. It's being merciful is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of tremendous strength. And so he makes a plea for mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God, is not a demand, because you cannot demand mercy. There are a lot of people who live as if mercy is a foregone conclusion simply because of how wonderful they are. Mercy is not something that we can demand. Mercy is something that is generously bestowed upon another by the offended party. There was a time where I had a miscommunication with someone, and God had to really take me to school to get me to understand what was going on, because I did not see the great offense that someone was dealing with. It was a very sensitive time in their family, and I was there to show support, and didn't realize that my actions were not the way that they dealt with that particular situation. My normal was not their normal, and so I ended up, being insensitive because of their process was just different from my process. And so God explained to me what had gone on. I repented, I apologized, and then I had to wait for them to be ready to disperse mercy. And it wasn't, this is just taking way too long. I mean, I repented. It wasn't that at all. You wait. Human beings, we may operate under God's laws, but we're not God. So sometimes we have to allow a person to regain control over their own thoughts, over their own emotions. And especially if you're the offending party, let me encourage you to do this. After you've repented and after you have requested mercy, you do not get impatient. You do not argue with them. You wait for the Holy Spirit to bring them to that place where they are ready to disperse mercy. God is rich in mercy. We should be rich in mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies." And so David made an appeal not to a God who was short on mercy. David understood how merciful God was. Because here's the thing, the sins that David committed were subject to the death penalty. And you say, wait a minute, he's the king. I want you to understand that sin is sin. It doesn't matter before the cross who you are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so even the king, even the most powerful politicians in the world have to ask for mercy from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The wealthiest people on the planet who get to enjoy the luxuries that this world has to afford, none of that finance is going to have any bearing on the court of heaven. It doesn't matter how popular you are or how beautiful you are. Sin is hideous in the sight of God. It is not trivial. It is extremely serious, and it must be repented of. Not just an apology, but a complete change of behavior. That's what repentance is. Many people regret remorse when their sin becomes known, but in actuality, repentance is more than just sorrow over an action that you've been caught and revealed. It is a change in behavior, one that changes from being offensive to God to behavior that is pleasing to God. And so there are segments of the population, and they want to claim that their sinful behavior has to do with their heredity, their genes, the people that they're related to, the ethnic group that they might belong to, and all that sort of stuff. None of that has any bearing. People want to say, well, just because my behavior is different from your behavior, that doesn't make it sinful. That's true. It's not sinful because it's different from me. It is sinful because it is abhorrent in the sight of God. And so it has to be repented of, and that means it has to be abandoned, and a holy lifestyle has to be implemented. Okay? There is no loophole. We all need God to show us his tender mercy. He says, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Those three lines make it very clear that the only way that we can have a transformation is for God to deal with our sin, and ultimately that required the blood of Jesus to be shed. It's not just a covering over. I've told the story a number of times. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I think it was more early 2000s than 1990s, they did a utilities transformation project in the Merritt Park Place subdivision where Merritt Assembly of God is located. They came and they had the roads shut down. They put a median in the middle. They put street-side parking, but they did all of that stuff underground. And then after they made those repairs, they came and they repaved it, and it was absolutely beautiful. They took a little bit of a hiatus, and then they went over to the church or to the street that that our church borders on the west. And they did a similar thing there. They didn't put the divided roads in or anything like that, but they did the underground utilities, and then they paved the road. And shortly after, and by shortly after, I mean it's in my recollection, it was weeks. It wasn't months. It definitely wasn't years. But shortly after they put that brand new road on there, somebody was driving down the road, and a can of paint, bright paint, fell out of their vehicle, and a huge, huge paint stain on this brand new paved road. Well, you don't want to drive through that stuff, because then you end up getting it all on the underside of your cars from your tires. You spread it down the road. And so they got it dried, and then they came out and they said, we know what we're going to do. We are going to put seal coat, you know, asphalt seal coat over it. And so they took it and they painted over the paint, and they painted it black. But as time went on, just like the Old Testament sacrifice, the stain would begin to shine through. The black would be beat upon by the rays of the sun. People would drive over it, and little by little it would erode, and eventually you couldn't see any of the seal coat anymore. All you could see, and if I remember correctly, I believe the color is purple. it's bright. And before long, the purple is shining through again. And then they came out one more time and they coated over it. And now they just let people drive over it and stuff like that. But that's the way many people deal with their sin. They try and cover it over, only for the sin to eventually press through and become evident to all again. Jesus, by his blood, doesn't just whitewash our sins, he blots it out entirely. He blots out the event. He blots out the record of the event, the consequences of the event, so that we do not live with that thing. Now there, let me rephrase that. He doesn't always blot out the consequences. He blots, you know, when we request that he blots out and demonstrates mercy to our sins, he will wipe away the eternal consequences, but there may be consequences in this life here. Much of the dysfunction in David's household manifest after this event. And so there are consequences that we may deal with. If I were to have the type of sin that David had, I would lose my position as pastor. I would not be on the radio. I would experience financial consequences. I could experience relational consequences. I could experience catastrophic things in my life. I don't want that. I don't want that. And so don't just count the cost for serving God. Count the cost to make sure that when temptation comes your way, don't believe the devil's lie. Nobody's going to ever know. That's the fact that it's anonymous has no bearing on God, because he knows everything. Don't fall for the line, well, I know that this has happened to a lot of other people, but it won't happen to you. That's a garbage line of deception. Secret sins may one day be shouted from the rooftops. I've seen it happen. I've seen it literally. A person's sin that I knew ended up going around the globe. You don't want to be in that person's shoes when that happens. Blot out my transgressions. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sins always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. And again, we talked about this on a recent program. The only confession that has any merit before the court is this: I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge that I missed the mark. And I've grieved you, I've offended you, I deserved to die. My sin is always before me. But he says this: against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. So David said, I'm requesting that you forgive my sin, that you blot out my transgressions, that you wipe the slate clean, that you may be found just when you speak. You see, that's one of the things that happens with Christians. Our people are watching us, and if you have been a Christian for a long time, they are looking to you, and they are looking to either build or reject a relationship upon God or with God upon the evidence that's in your life or in my life. And David said, I don't want anybody to look upon you as unjust. Okay. Now, you know, we see, let's see, how do I want it? Less than stable proclamations of justice throughout society, sometimes depending on if you're famous, sometimes depending on if you're powerful. We see all sorts of different standards. God's standard is always the same. His standard is the same for me. It's the same for you. It's the same for every person that is alive today, that's lived or will ever live, and that is this. All have to ask the Lord God to forgive them of their sins and wipe away those sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that everybody knows God is just. You say, I'm not perfect, neither am I. But we had better be living by the power of the Holy Spirit in such a way that we are not compromising the testimony of who God is. Got 2 minutes here. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. I want you to understand that we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we were sinners. David looks back and he says, look, I've been a sinner from the very first breath that I ever took. We have a depraved nature. It is one of the consequences that came about as a result of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. Before that, Adam and Eve were sinless, and they chose rebellion against God's command over obedience. Ever since that time, we have been battling the sin nature, and you don't have to teach a child it. I mean, a child has it. And so we have to learn how to do right. A friend of mine said when he grew up, he's a minister, he said, I went to a church and they said, I'm okay and you're okay. Everything is all right. And he said, and then I came to faith in Jesus when a person said, you're not okay and I'm not okay. Both of us are dirty, rotten sinners that are going to split hell wide open unless we give our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. And he said, I was grateful for that revelation because I knew how important holiness is to God. I want to encourage you today. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, there's never a better time than right now. We live in very uncertain times where death is a very real possibility for a lot of people. Make sure that life is on the other side of that last breath. Ask Jesus to forgive
you. Thank
you
for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Your love is deep, your love is high, your love is long, your love is